Welcome to Sunday morning worship from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.
Okay, so what I'd like to do today, everyone, is kind of bring us up to speed on what we're doing right now. And this is, you know, me kind of getting back into things here this morning as well. But we're in the very early stages of 2024, and we're in the very early stages of this teaching series that we're doing the first 6 weeks of this new year, and it's called My Christian Growth Plan. And so I want to take a moment and just talk about what we're doing. Again, if you're with us, if you missed last week like I did, if you've missed one of the first 2 weeks of this year, hopefully this will help to kind of get us all up to speed. I want to begin by explaining this series and what we're doing by talking about a sign beside on the side of the road. In fact, here's a picture of a sign on the side of the road that I took the other day. And you guys know these signs that are on the side of the road. They're kind of everywhere. And if you're listening to this message online or something, we're looking at the screen. It's a picture of one of those blue signs beside the interstate. And this one is announcing, you know, there's gas at this exit. And, you know, in these signs, there's sometimes different categories, gas and food and hotels, right? And then there's, you know, various brands that are on these signs to indicate to travelers what they can find, what resources, what help they can find at this particular exit if they need it on their journey, on their road trip. We know signs like this. So if we go to the next slide, what we've then tried to depict here is signs, a sign kind of like that. This is a blue sign, and what we're doing in this series is we're talking about the journey of the Christian life. And in this journey, in this trip that we're on with God, we are helped by God's grace throughout. We are carried along by His grace. And as we go on this journey, we need to fill up and fuel up and feed on His grace and receive His grace if we're going to keep going and keep progressing. So what I've tried to do on this sign, like the ones you would see on the side of the road, is depict six things that help us fuel up, fill up, keep going. Six things, six means by which God's grace comes to us as we go through the Christian life. Now, on the top kind of row are transformative habits. And really, these are categories or groups of different habits. Anchored in the Word, active in the church and neighborhood, animated by the Spirit. There are kinds of habits under each of these that we could list. There's multiple ways to be anchored in the Word, as we'll talk about next week. There's a bazillion ways, as I talked about 2 weeks ago, to be active in the church and neighborhood. These are categories of habits that we develop that help us stay connected with God and help us fuel up and fill up for the Christian life. Now, if we go to the next slide and just focus in on these bottom three, these are environments for Christian growth. We call these environments for Christian growth. These are three ways or three spaces, three environments in which we encounter God with other Christians. In large groups like this one, that is churches, in small groups, which Chris and Roxy spoke about last Sunday, Bible studies, service groups, fellowship groups, Sunday school classes, etc., and life to life, that is friend to friend, with a mentor, with a counselor, with an accountability partner. These three environments are really standard in churches for centuries. This is not a new thing. You guys, this is very, very old stuff. Ways that Christians have gathered for centuries. These are ways of gathering that we want to promote and cultivate, and we have in our church and will continue to do. Last week, Chris and Roxy spoke about small groups, as I shared. And one of the things that, and how that's been a helpful environment for growth for many Christians over the years. And in the early stages of 2024, one of the things that we've been talking about or I've been hearing about in various conversations in our church is small groups. There's a real hunger, desire to engage with this particular form, this particular environment, to help one another grow. Perhaps it's the ease that we're experiencing in this new facility, which we're enjoying, that's allowed us to shift our focus to say, okay, how can I get with a handful of other people in a Bible study, a small group, whatever, so we can help one another grow? These are environments for growth. Now, if we go to today's topic and to the next slide, today I want to talk about large group. Our topic for today is a large group, that is, or a church. By that we mean a group of disciples that has been brought together. And in the case of our church, for example, Zanesville Neighborhood Church, that's how I see it. That's how I believe it. I believe God has brought us together for such a time as this. And we do life and discipleship and mission together. That helps each one of us grow. So does it help for an individual Christian, an individual disciple such as you or me, grow if we are connected regularly with a church? Yes. What I want to talk about today is, if that's the case, how precisely does that work? How does it work that being in a large group connected with a church helps me in my journey with Christ? So if you'll turn with me, if you have a Bible, we're going to look at that first of all in the scriptures today in Ephesians chapter 4. These passages will also be up on the screen here in a moment. Again, the title of this message is simply large group. We're talking about a church and how a church can help each one of us. Being a part of a church helps each one of us grow. It's part of our series, which is entitled My Christian Growth Plan. Same title as the workbook, which again, you can use if you so choose. Now, as you're turning to Ephesians 4, let me say just one other thing about churches. Of course, we know that churches, when we talk about a church, it comes in various shapes and sizes. And we remember that in the first century, most of the earliest churches were house churches. So they were consequently not really all that big. It was a larger group, larger than we would say a small group is, but it wasn't a huge thing. Probably what you had in a city or a region was a bunch of house churches that were connected and banded together and in communication with one another to some degree. Well, then when church buildings became a thing, it allowed for churches to be larger. Most of us probably grew up going to a church, attending a church. If we grew up in the church, we grew up going to a place that was connected to a building, and it was a church of 25 or 30 people up to 200 or 300 people. Most of us probably belong to a church of that shape or size, connected to a building and around that size. In our day and age, of course, we have mega churches. Advances in technology and other factors have allowed for there to be these big, big churches, big gatherings that are together for life, discipleship, and mission. What I want to say about that today is, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages to all these shapes and sizes of church. But what we want to say about this today is that God can and does use these environments, these different kinds of churches, for our good. And that a church, a large group of believers, whatever shape, whatever size, can be a great environment for Christian growth. Now, from the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, we read this. Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all." Now, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. So, in a number of the messages that we've done over the past couple months, I've mentioned this fact about the letters of the New Testament, the letters of Paul, that usually towards the end of those letters, the second half of the letters, Paul turns to talking about practical Christian living. We see this in Peter and other places as well. So usually the second half, there's a kind of practical section. in the case of Ephesians, which is six chapters long, we have the same thing happening. The first three chapters are really kind of this long, meandering prayer that is filled with all kinds of important stuff. Important theological truths are in the first three chapters of Ephesians. When we get to chapter 4 in our Bibles, it's really a point where there's a shift, and a shift to matters that are more practical. So what he begins with in verse 1 is, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So verse 1 is really just a general, it's very general. Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. There's nothing specific there. It's just a general statement about the kind of life we're to live. And then he's going to hang some specifics on it over the next three chapters. What he begins with in terms of the specifics is some information and teaching about our life together. That's what he starts with. It's no surprise to me that he begins with that, because across his letters, a major priority of the Apostle Paul was cohesive churches. That he wanted to promote the churches of the first century Christian movement to be these cohesive, hanging together, sticking together units. It's a major, major priority of the Apostle Paul in his teaching and his writing to churches. Cohesion, sticking together, unity. Therefore, in verse 2, there's some character traits that are mentioned that are going to help with that. Namely, humility, gentleness, patience, an ability to bear with those who are struggling, those who are wrong, those who are immature, etc. Those are qualities that are needed and called for and crucial for cohesive churches. By the way, those qualities are not ones that we're born with. They're not even ones that we're born again with. They are developed by the Spirit of God. They are honed and crafted and formed in community. What I mean is, you know this, we learn patience sometimes when we're around other people that require patience from us. We learn humility when we're around other people and have to work in a group and have to get things done. And part of that requires, I have to step back and I have to humble myself in some ways in order for this project, this activity, etc., to work. So Paul says that these things will be critical for disciples to cultivate if at the end of the day they are experiencing the kind of group, church, etc., that they're to be, one that's marked by, among other things, in verse 3, peace. Now, one other thing about this before we move on to things that are connect more with our real topic for today, there's one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And what we say about this is Paul sees the church with a capital C, the church everywhere, as a united thing. We're united through one Lord, one faith, one spirit, one baptism. So there is this spiritual connection. If I belong to Christ and you belong to Christ, we belong to each other. Whether we like it or not, whether we realize it or not, there is a connection. And his idea is that that spiritual connection would be matched by a real experience of peace and unity and cohesion. On to the next part, the next verse. This is also then a diverse group, a diverse body. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what we're seeing here then is that there are differences. And these come to us here in the way of, he mentions different gifts. And that God's grace has been apportioned as Christ has apportioned it. What does that mean? First of all, that so much of what we have and experience in this life is by God's grace, his mercy, and his goodness. And second, that he gives his grace to us, but it comes to us all differently. It's not all uniform. In the context here, he's talking about we receive different gifts from God. All believers are given spiritual gifts. They're not all the same. These are gifts given by the Spirit of God for use in the church. If those gifts are different from person to person, I think we may extend this principle and say it even more generally, that each of us, each person in this room, for example, has different spiritual gifts, different talents, different abilities, different experiences that have helped shape us, and God has used to shape us to make us the people that we are. We're made differently from birth. We are innately different. Add to that the fact that we walk different paths through life, and so we have different experiences. And so then we come together, and then we are all this mix of spiritual gifts, experience, talents, ability, innate personality, and all the things that God's made. It's different. So it's this collective, but where there's this tremendous diversity. Now, this diversity, he says, is a good thing for us. It helps us when we're connected and stay connected in the church because it equips us. Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people. Those are five examples of gifts. I don't think that's all of them. I think there's a lot more that are mentioned in the New Testament, nor do I think that all of us have one of those five. What his point here is, these are five gifts in the church that are useful in equipping other people for works of service. And again, this all goes to until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So the diversity that we see in the church is to help with our individual maturity. We come into contact with other people and they help us in one way or another grow up in our faith. Here's where it says that even more to finish out this section. If we go to the next part of this passage, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. Big idea for today is this: the diversity, the diverse gifts, skill set, talents, experiences, abilities of churches, including this one, helps produce mature disciples. It helps all of us mature. That's the way that the church works. That's why a church, a large group, is an environment in which we can grow. Now, I begin today talking about travel, road trip, sign along the side of the road, and I want to continue to talk along the lines of that theme by giving you a riddle, if you will, or maybe this is just kind of a hypothetical question, something you can just talk about, think about how you would answer this. But someone was saying this one time, I heard about six months ago or so. It goes like this: suppose you are traveling, you're on a trip, and some things happen, and you end up stranded on a deserted island. You're there all by yourself with no hope of rescue. And the riddle or the question that goes along with this is this: if the person stranded on the deserted island is not a Christian at that point, could he or she still become one? And then secondly, if he or she becomes a Christian, could they grow to full maturity as a Christian on that deserted island? Now, the answer to the first question, could he or she, could someone become a Christian on a deserted island? The answer to that question is yes. If they know something of Christ, know something of God, of the gospel, could they become a Christian all by themselves? Yes. We come to follow Christ, to be a Christian by an act of faith or belief in Christ, acceptance of his death for our sins, belief that God raised him from the dead as an act of our will to follow him. And that can happen by ourselves at any moment. So yes, that person on the deserted island could become a Christian. The answer to the second question is a little more debatable. Could that person grow to full maturity? Many people would say no. Many people would say no. Not that they can't grow, they can, but grow to a full extent. The idea is that they would then be limited by virtue of them being on a deserted island because there are no other people around. The point being that other Christians are so helpful to our development, whether we like it or not, whether we realize it or not, so helpful in helping us mature. People that are different than us, people that add their gifts to ours, people that speak into our life. But God uses that in so many tremendous ways that will be hard, left all to yourself, to experience the kind of growth you would if you were around other people. Well, as you consider environments for growth, I want to invite you to consider large group. Last week again, Chris and Roxy shared about small groups. You may be making some plans or have some thoughts about how you might engage with that environment this year. Think also about a large group and how you might benefit or how you might want to make a plan to stay connected with a large group, a church, through this coming year. How you might add your gifts and your talents to this church and benefit from those of others. If you want to talk with me or anyone at any point, I'd love to talk with you about, what are some ways that I can serve? What are some needs? How can I discover my spiritual gifts? I'd love to share with you or talk more about that. What I'm going to do as we close our time today is I am going to run through this year. I just want to run through for us as a church in this year and beyond, where are we going? What do we want to be about? What are some things that we believe that God has put in front of us that we want to do together? And I share this list with you. If there's something on this list that connects with you, or that God nudges you and says, hey, get involved with that, let's talk more. I know that so many of us, this church is a church, I want to say this before I go to the list, where we do complement each other and we do work together so well, and that's one of the gifts of this church. I want to share this list and just kind of share some ideas. Here's where we're going this year. If there's anything on this list, again, that you want to get involved more with, I'd love to talk more. So the first thing, and some of these are new, some of these are things we've been pursuing for the past 10 years. This one's a new one. We want to love our neighbors upstairs. God has brought us into this new place, and what we all said together over the last 6 months of 2023 is we don't want to take it for granted. We want to stay in communication and cooperation with our neighbors upstairs, that is the Trinity Church. There are ways, practical ways, that we need to do that this year. If that's of an interest to you in helping with that, maintain that connection, I'd love to talk with you more about that. The next one in terms of where we're headed, and this is an old one. This is one that was ours from day one and continues to be so vitally important in terms of where has God leading us as a church. It's kids' discipleship. From the very beginning, kids were a huge part of this church, and this simply says, with God's help, we will make disciples of ZNC kids, and this has been the vision through the years, so that they will be thoroughly equipped to follow Christ for a lifetime, so that someday when they're not kids anymore, or they're not present with us physically, we can look back and say, man, those kids were equipped to follow Christ for a lifetime. This is a big part of our vision. And there's tons of ways that we all can help with kids' discipleship. It's not just teaching. There's many, many ways that you can help with this. Talk to me if that's of interest to you in 2024. The next one, again, something from the very beginning. This is a very old one for us. We are on mission together in neighborhoods. We want to love neighbors and transform neighborhoods. We want to seek to make new disciples in those places. And then what we added last year, what we refocused on last year, is when we meet new people in our neighborhoods, we want to have a warm and welcoming environment on Sunday mornings. We want to be intentional about inviting them. We want to create come-to and outreach experiences and events to which we then invite people that we meet in our neighborhoods to get to know us and get to know Christ. The next one, this is one that we've envisioned for a long time. We haven't done much with in the last couple of years, but would like to do more with this year. With God's help, we will develop a neighborhood church network to equip and support like-minded churches and receive the same from them. We have two churches that we've partnered with in Africa. They would love to do more with us. We would love to do more with them. If this is an area of interest for you, I'd love to know about it. The next one, also something that we have dreamed about, talked about for a number of years, but haven't done much with, that we'd love to. Maybe this is the year to do more with it. We will make disciples by equipping ZNC, the Neighborhood Church Network, and the world through books, resources, media, marketing. There are things that we have here that we'd like to share. There are things that we've done that we'd like to share with others in the forms of print material, video, audio, etc. That's of interest to you. I'd love to know about it. The last one, fervent prayer. This is something that we've begun with, again, from the very beginning, but want to take more steps with in the future. With God's help, we want to mobilize a prayer movement in our church and beyond. And some of the facilities that we have here at Trinity, I think, could help with this. Okay, those are a few things that I wanted to share with you. Just where are we headed? Pray, work with God. Lord, where do you want me to serve? How do you want to use me this year? Would you join me in prayer?
All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.